You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening. Welcome, Elaine, to the Monday Night Show. How are you all out there? It's great to see you all. We're on tonight and we've got lots to talk about. It was a fairly quiet night and weekend of football. Not much really happened. Nobody's paying attention to what was happening in the world of football. And we said we'd start to try and brighten it up like we could. I'm sorry about the mic. It's just weighing. It keeps drifting back this way, Gav. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I've got too many medals hanging out of it now. That's why. I've got too many medals. You like it?
All right, relax there, leading in for Christy.
Put your medals on the table.
You must have Michelle De Bruyne hanging off there now, do you?
This is the latest one. I'll just see that there. There we go. There's the medal from the weekend.
Oh, that's a nice one, actually. In Ken. Come here, let me ask you. What did you think?
They all link up.
What was your we're making a jigsaw as we go along, fair enough. But what was your target time? 3 hours 25, was it?
No, the target time was 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I told you that was 50 minutes faster than I'd done the same distance at any stage, right?
Right. So 2:50 was your best, 2:35 was your target. What did you do with it?
Yeah. 2 hours and 11 minutes.
Yes, Lance Armstrong stuff. Right? Through you. I love it. And come here, did you get the drug test?
Full of the EPO. I did, yeah.
Greg LeMond at the end shouting cheat at you.
they couldn't catch me. I was that fast. I was just going, you know. But I have to say that the problem had it was great. Now I have to say it is a faster one of the races that I do. So actually, probably the time is about right. I was aiming for, as I said, all but joking aside, right? So I was aiming for top 25 out of the 555 that went in the sport race, right?
So and is this age aiming, category wise or overall?
Overall, I was trying to get into top 25. So I wasn't messing about now. I was doing that, right? And top 10 in the age category. So over 40. I'm almost into the over 50 category, but over 40 still, right? We're clinging on with nails at the moment, right? Yeah. So I finished 26th overall and 11th. In the over 40s.
Oh, right? Just out.
Sick, I was like, and what's even sicker is on the kayak, right?
I'm having a chat. Pointless now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm in the fella's with me in the kayak, right? And like I'd really put it in, got on the bike. Three fellas passed by me, they were going like a bullet on the bike, and I said, "Nah, I'm not going to let go of the wheel." I stayed on their wheels and got all the way back into Kenmare, and then got off and ran down for the kayak. And the legs were like burning at this stage. Got in the kayak, fella with me, and we're going around. I'm having a chat. I'm going around the kayaks I don't practice the kayak whatsoever, right? Yeah. And I'm banging around the kayak, and we're coming up, and your man just started running away from me, and it was like I couldn't. There was another hill and up and then running down the main street of Kenmare across the finish line, and I could see him in the distance. I said, "I'm going to kick myself now, am I? I'm not going to kick myself." So I got down and checked the time, and I checked the results later on. He beat me by 10 seconds, and he finished 25th and 10th. I was like, that's how close it was.
Like, yeah, but still, like, in fairness, that's a ridiculous effort. Like, that, to go 2 hours 11 when 2 hours 35 was your target and 2 hours 50 was the most best you'd ever done it in. Like, yeah. All the drugs worked.
That's like,
well, we've got the next one's in 3.5 weeks now. So I went back out, I went to do a recovery run today, and the hamstring, there was a bit of a ping in the hamstring as I was finishing it off. So I think we'll be off the run for five to eight days.
Wants to know, did any of them have the special helmets?
Do you know what, right? There was
nobody going around with them helmets on.
Not with that one, but there was one. I saw one fella with an aero helmet on. I was just going, you look like an absolute.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? You'd be better off going down to Yamaha's gaff, right? Going up into the attic and saying, where's that helmet you used to have for the BMX? Because you'd look more respectable than these bleeding moon things you have in the heads. Honestly. A horse riding helmet. You know the horse riding helmet? It's one of them. Yeah. Remember Del Boy in The Only Fools and Horses when he had the horse riding helmet?
Well, come here.
And he put the thing on top of them for all the lads.
You're going to love this because I know he'll be a special guest on here over the international break, right? So I brought my son with me, right? And he's my eldest son.
Spoiler alert, his eldest son wants to come on the podcast. He will be on next week. I don't know what's going to happen, but he will be on.
Fucking hell. We left Dublin at 4 o'clock in the morning to get down there for the start of the race, right? Mm. So it was a really early start.
How old is he now?
He's 12, right? So I was like, this big first time.
All,
I was letting him hang around in Kenmare on his own when I was going off doing this. I was like, I won't be on for too long, 3 hours, or whatever. And I said, look, I'll text you now when I get to the top of the mountain. Now that was all grand. So I said, you go off and get breakfast and let me know how you're going. And when we get back to close to the Park Hotel in Kenmare, that's where the kayak is. Come out and you can do whatever. Anyway, that was great. So he goes off and I'm off up the mountain, whatever. And he goes, I'm going for breakfast now. I says, that's grand. So he goes into the Park Hotel in Kenmare, which is a 5-star hotel right now. And I want to give them a big shout out because this is stunning stuff. So he's on a scooter. Now, not an electric scooter, just a normal scooter, right?
Yeah.
And he's just goes in and he has his little hold on with him and he had a switch in it. And he went up to a man at reception, started having a chat to him. And he said, where's the breakfast? And they're like, are you staying here? He says, no, my dad's out doing a race. I was told to come in here, the breakfast's lovely in here, right? So they bring him in, set him up on the table at the window, right? And he starts ordering what he wants for breakfast. And they go, my credit card's going to be in fire at this, right? So he's sitting there ordering away. That's grand. And I was like,
look, Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone. This is
off the chart stuff, right? So then he finishes up and he goes, I'd like to pay now. And then he says, no, do you know what? He says, dad's out. And he says, do you know what? You are an absolutely brilliant young man. He says, we'd like to give you this breakfast for free, right? So he goes, really? I said, yeah. He said, absolutely. Now he had a cup of tea, a scone, a bowl of porridge, or whatever it was, the else he had with it, right? And I said, Matthew, you should have had sausages and rations. You should have gone for the whole hog and said, since I'm not paying for this, bring me over the rest of the menu. Right? He says, and then they brought me out and they had the scooter ready for me outside the door. So
washed and all, valet service on the scooter.
Valet service. So I'm gonna email them tomorrow, but I want to say fair play to the Park Hotel and Kenmare. Like, for my sake and also for his sake, he just thinks it's the most amazing thing ever now. And
when he comes on here next week, he's getting nothing for free, I can tell you.
That's been cracked. So fantastic. And Kenmare, I'll stand by it. I think Kenmare is one of the best towns. If anyone is not from Ireland that's watching or listening,
what's young Casey's first name?
Matthew.
If anyone has any topics they'd like to talk to Matthew about, message me directly and I will ask him.
Listen, I love him to bits, but he's no interest in football, right? So it's going to be brilliant, right?
Brilliant. We prefer talking about random stuff than
he has, especially international break. He has a list of questions for you, Gav, right? He has a flipboard, right? He's been sitting there going, I'm going to have a list of questions for Gav. And I want to ask him all these questions, right?
Right.
He thinks Cristiano Ronaldo is the best footballer in the world. And it's like,
that's the reason why he's no interest in football. He's a fucking idiot, Matthew.
So he's getting a big shout out. So if you're, he's probably sneaking on and watching tonight. So if you're watching, well done, little man. You kept me alive and sane on the way home. I managed not to fall asleep in the car, which was fantastic.
He'll be on next week, promise.
Exactly. Anyway, go down and stay in Kenmare if you have the chance. It's a great county. And big thanks to the Park Kenmare for making sure that my son had the best time ever. There's actually right beside the Park Hotel in Kenmare is the Kenmare Golf Course. Oh. And it's a links course. out on the lake, not on the lake, on the sea.
We might ring them and go, fantastic. Here to give us stuff for free. I'll be down during the week. There'll be four of us for 3 nights. And I've no problem only eating porridge in the morning if that's kind of reduces the costs.
Yeah, it reduces the costs. Yeah, like, and the booze, you enjoy the booze. Fantastic pubs.
Pete said, Gav will have him swallowing cans and smoking Woodbines next week. Only if he's buying. Go on.
All right. So let's get on and talk about a bit about the football. I'm delighted to have Robbie with me tonight. Robbie is over here. And Robbie, you were over to the match, weren't you?
I certainly was, yeah.
Let's keep an eye on the social media to see what it was. Actually, I'm surprised that many people I knew that went over to the match. Gav didn't, but Andy was.
I saw Andy on the train, or Andy in the airport, sorry. I saw Andy in the airport, yeah. Yeah, I think he was with
Dicko.
He's with Dicko. Yeah.
Andy was looking out the window at all the planes, taking the note of the numbers on the wings, I'd say.
Didn't even want to go to the match. He just wanted to watch the planes. He was delighted with himself.
How many planes
do
you reckon I'll see while we're flying over? How many do you think we'll see flying?
Remember his giant binoculars?
Yeah, he loves the planes. He fucking loves the planes.
He loves the airport and listens to him.
He does, and then he looks up the radars now. Oh, look at that, going from Milan to Los Angeles now. He loves all that.
Yeah. So, but look, I tell you what, fantastic game of football. It really was a fantastic game of football. And it's one that really symbolises, I think, as a last sort of fisticuffs between Klopp and Pep in a league match, it was very fitting. It was swashbuckling the way most of the really great games that the two teams have gone at each other.
I didn't look at the record. It came up today. 8 wins for Klopp, 7 wins for Guardiola, and 7 draws across the whatever 22 league meetings or whatever it was. Like, it's phenomenal.
It's massive. You know what I mean? It's fantastic. And like, well, I know we'll get into the various things, but I will say one thing. When I saw that team on Sunday, I was like, do you know what? Any result here is a phenomenal result, because that was essentially our Europa League team in November, right? Like, that's what you're talking about. And that was a full strength City side. There's no excuses there. It's an absolute full strength City side that they had out there. Yeah. Literally no excuses. And your man Endo, for the amount of abuse he got at the start of the season, to pocket the whole Manchester City midfield to end Kevin De Bruyne's career. And then for the way Kwanzaa played, my God, what a little gem we have there. Well, I don't say a gem, what an absolute marvellous gem we have in a defender. Like, if you wanted to see a young Virgil van Dijk, you're witnessing it, because his composure and his talent and everything is just fantastic. And I will say, I've given Joe Gomez plenty of stick on here because I thought he was finished, but as a left back, he's been doing a phenomenal job.
He was even better at right back then when he switched over, in fairness.
Yep. So I've got no issues whatsoever with the performance put in. That team has balls of steel, and they have more metal and fortitude than any team, Liverpool team, I've seen in the world, particularly the way they're dealing with well, if you look at what the injured 11 look like, you'd say that injured 11 would beat the 11 that started the game on at the weekend. So it's the craziness of it. And I also want to say, unsung hero, Caoimhín Kelleher. He's been phenomenally quiet. And when I say quiet, I mean, like, we haven't missed Ali, which is mad when you think about it. Like, between big saves he made during the week, on to the performance again against City, like, it's incredible. It's incredible to see a fella who's been sitting on the bench watching, being able to perform at the level he's done. The difference with him there and Ali at the moment, that's not to say that you wouldn't want Alisson back when he's fit, but
I said it last night, I think it just gets to the stage when Kelleher's in goal, you just go, ah, Kelleher's in goal.
You don't
have to have a conversation around him anymore. And I also said last night that Caoimhín Kelleher may make a mistake between now and the end of the season that may cost us points. But that's, and you will get the whole, you know, oh, Alisson wouldn't do that. Well, that's horseshit, because Alisson has made mistakes, and Alisson's the best goalkeeper in the world. But every goalkeeper makes a mistake at some stage. But I think Kelleher's being, the save he makes the other night at the back post, Sparta Prague, and Gomez clears it, is a joke of a save. Like, it's literally point blank, and it's going above his head to his left, and how he manages to keep it out. But look, I keep going back to it. Klopp keeps telling you, he doesn't care how young they are. They're in the squad because he believes in them. And when they go on the pitch, he believes in them, and he expects. And if he expects a certain amount from you have to put it in. And he's only putting you on the pitch because he thinks you can. And I thought they were, bar the first 10 yesterday, where City came out like a house on fire, which you expect. Liverpool, I thought, even during the time when City score, I thought Liverpool were just worked so hard and there was so much clever play and they just got braver and braver as it went on. And I don't think there's any negative in that result with Liverpool yesterday. I actually think, I said it after the game, I make Liverpool favourites for the title now after that yesterday. 100%.
Well, Robbie, you were at the game. So before you get on to your thing, like, my take was that they were feeling their way into the match. If you take, like, with such an inexperienced and young side, with City, who were overwhelming favourites going into that game as well, like, what was it like in the ground? Did it feel like that they were, you know, sort of more or less riding out that wave that they knew they were going to get for the first 20 minutes of City coming at them, and then they found their feet, they found their way?
To be honest, I wasn't expecting that onslaught in the first 20 minutes from City. I really wasn't. I thought they would try and kill the atmosphere, kill the game without taking too many risks and whatnot. So I was quite surprised, and I had that feeling. Do you remember the 13-14 game against City, the 3-2 we won? The second half, they came on like lunatics, David Silva and Milner. On the show, and I had that sick feeling in my stomach. It was felt quite similar to that. And it was like, okay, when they scored, it was like, okay, I've been expecting it that kind of way. I knew this was coming, this was going to come. So I kind of relaxed then. I think the crowd started to, that kind of like, okay, we, you know, this was probably going to come. So raised her up. And I thought the crowd from that goal, I thought they were absolutely amazing. I thought, you know, I think we've got a, with that new stand now, and if you can get, now I said to Gab before the match, there was a lot of corporate people around me with half and half scarves and stuff, but I was looking around when it was like feral, and they were all even getting into it, Phil, you know? So, yeah, I think goal came, and then it was a matter of like, we go for this now, we step up as fans, we step up as a crowd as well, and try and lift them, and I think we did lift them, and they were just immense in the second half. Like, you know, as you say yourself, lads, when you see the team and it comes an hour before the match, and you're kind of going, oh, maybe, you know, we're not going to get away with another one kind of thing. We're playing the best team in the world, let's face it. But they just rose to the occasion, you know, and then come again, you know. They should take all the plaudits for yesterday. We should never doubt them again. And just savor this last 10 games. It's a league of 10. It's a 10 game league now we have.
Mm. Yep. No, that's the way it's going. So
let's go for it. And I think everyone now, I think that result will give everyone a huge lift.
Which then brings me around to this. Your topic is take Mo off penalties.
Yeah. It's pretty selfish. It's pretty selfish because I have a heart attack every time Mo takes the pen. I just don't like his... I don't like the run up and all that. And now he's my fucking Salah, lads. What am I to do? You know what I mean? I'm not criticising, you know, but I just feel more comfortable with McAllister. And I had a look at the stats today, and Mo in his career is 4-5. Now it's about, I think he's taken nearly 50 pounds, got 39 of them. So that's 4-5. So that's, you can't really ask much more of that, like, you know. McAllister's on 90%, but at a much smaller sample size. So he scored 12 out of 13 in his career. And I think it's 9 and 10 in the Premier League. But I just like his technique, you know, it just gives me a bit more comfort. But like, you know, this league is so tight, this could be won in a penalty kick in the last game of the season, you know what I mean? It's
my arse will fall off. It'll fall out if it's a penalty, you know, last minute of the season.
It happened with Liam Brady at Juventus. He took a penalty when he was playing with them. It can happen, and this is so fucking tight. It wouldn't surprise me if something like, if it went down to the last game and something like that happened. But it would be a huge, huge call from Klopp to go, Mo, we're not taking this. Give it to Macca. I don't like to think about that, but...
My thinking on it is, I know where you're coming from with the Salah thing, because, right, I don't think 39 from 50 is a great record, right? That's where I am. But in fairness, I grew up with Matt Letizia taking penalties. I think he scored 40 and 41. You know what I mean? I think Crossley was the only one to save him from him, wasn't he? Famously for Forrest, I think, at the time. And I think why people are looking at McAllister as opposed to Salah, and I think, by the way, straight off the bat, I think Salah will pull rank on this. Salah will literally walk back in and go, listen, I'm the fella that scores all the fucking goals here. I'm taking the penalties, right? Yeah. But I know where you're coming from with Salah, and it's not because he's left-footed. People think, oh, it's left-footed, your nerves are gone, because if you actually reverse it, people love watching footballers, left-footed footballers. You just think they're a bit more graceful and this sort of thing. But with Salah, when he's running up, I always feel like that's a very long run-up. It's a very straight run-up, and it kind of screams to me, like, I don't know. He doesn't know where he's going to put this. Whereas McAllister yesterday could have literally told Ederson where he's going to put it, but Ederson's not getting there because he's whipping a ball with so much pace at a height where it's not a nice height. It's beyond a nice height, but it's not too high where you're risking it going over the bar. And that's where I think the more the comfort comes from. And the same with Fabinho. Fabinho used to just run up and put them away. You know what I mean? Bump, bump, whatever it was. He took a couple while Mo was out the last time. But it'd be interesting to see, because I do think Mo will just go, I take the penalties. Like, you're only taking them because I wasn't playing. You know, the sort of way. But it would be a huge call for Klopp to say, because we always talk about, you know, he has the short. He's playing really well. He keeps the short. And that's usually what happens with Klopp. Obviously, this season, with the amount of injuries and stuff we've had, he's had to move people around. But Klopp might just go, listen, hold on. He's taken two. He's scored two. He's absolutely fine. He stays on them. You never know, Robbie. There could be a superstition thing amongst the squad. If you score, you stay on it. That sort of thing. But Phil, what do you think? Do you think he pulls rank?
I used to be really
don't say I don't care. I'm fucking sick of you saying I don't care. Fucking three times a week.
I wasn't going to say I don't care. I'm just going to say no, I genuinely don't mind him. See, like, I've gotten to the point now with Salah, when he started taking the penalties, I didn't like him, and I think he missed most of his penalties more or less at the start when he started taking them. He's been really good, and the problem is we have recency bias going on about, because he missed that one in January against Newcastle. Do you remember the one that Trent blazed the follow up over the bar, right? So, and then he's been injured forever after that, so it's like and only coming back into the team. Now, I'll disagree with you. I think McAllister's run-up is very like his, except it's from the right-hand side, so it's from the opposite side as he comes to take it up.
No, Salah runs at pace in a straight line, really.
He doesn't. He comes from the side. If watch it. He starts straight, but some penalty takers then drift to the side to come in and hit it, right? And that's exactly what Salah does. All McAllister's doing is not starting straight. He's going over to that side and coming at it. Yeah. But he hits it at the same height and it with the same thing, but just with the opposite foot. So, this is like when Fabinho took three penalties or something like that, and I was like, take Salah off penalties, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you knock in 30, I think he scored 24 to 30 Premier League penalties. That's what his record is in the Premier League. So forget all penalties, just 24 to 30 in the Premier League, right? It's still 80%. As far as I'm concerned, it's not good enough. I know this sounds terrible, and I'm the biggest Mo Salah fan.
He's missed 5 of his last 11.
Yeah. But that does that include Egypt? Because that doesn't count either.
Well, Passio just says here he's missed 5 of his last 11. I can remember him missing one at, was it Leicester he missed one away at? He misses one away at Bournemouth. He misses one at home to Newcastle. He puts one wide at the cop end against somebody as well.
He just scores so many goals, you just forget that he misses
penalties. Well, the funny thing is, right, when he runs up to a ball with Salah, for me, when he's taking a penalty, right, even taking the run-up aside, I much prefer when he just puts his foot through it and goes left or right.
But that's what he did against Newcastle.
Yeah, he's usually when, there's sometimes where he puts it down the middle. The best penalty he ever takes is at home to Arsenal, where he just runs up to it and sides foot it hard and up into the top corner.
Yeah, and, yeah,
but then again, he tries that away at Bournemouth and puts it fucking wide. So it's like, I think where McAllister's penalties are like, I know where I'm putting this, and I'm not even looking at the keeper. I don't care where the keeper is, because the chances of him getting across to this, the power I'm going to put on it, is like somewhere between zero and zero. Then I'm just not getting across. Like Ederson is full stretch yesterday, full stretch, jumping as fast as he can across that line. And he hasn't the hope of getting near it because it's just that perfect height above his arm, under the bar, and it's whipped into the corner. And even if he gets to it, I think the peril behind it, he doesn't get it out of the goal. And it's John Halton says, sorry, Gav, but Salah runs from the side. He run up allows him to change his mind if the keeper commits early. Yeah, I take that. He runs up, he does kind of start the run straight and then bends. But the thing is, he's running at that much pace. And I don't even think he's looking at the keeper. Like, how the fuck is he changing his mind as the keeper moves? How is he like looking at everything at the one time? You know, there's players out there like Jorginho, who literally just strolls up to it and just keeps watching the keeper, just keeps watching. And once one foot goes one way, he's gone the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's another
thing. Anelka was brilliant at that. Remember Anelka used to just roll up, walk up.
The best penalty taker was Signore. Signore used to take a two-step run up and just plant it. End of story. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Gianino Pernan Bacao was the best penalty taker.
Oh, well, of Leon.
Yeah, he just took all the free kicks and all the penalties, and he never missed a free kick or a penalty.
He never missed a free kick, even 40 yards out. But it's just another thing to add into the mix. Like Robbie's saying there, it could come down to a penalty on the last day of the season. Like, if we get a penalty against Wolves at the cop end at the last day of the season with five to go, and I don't actually think it matters who steps up to it, I'll be gone.
I won't be watching that.
Do you know what I mean? I'd be under a table somewhere. Honestly.
Interestingly, that's when I'd be have even more faith in him scoring. He's missed penalties in not big occasions. He was the man that took the ball to step up in the Champions League final and open the scoring.
Yeah, but it was a terrible penalty.
It's not a terrible penalty. He scored. It's like Cascarino's penalty in the 1990s.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Well, that's
they're all good penalties once they hit the back of the net. That's all that matters, right? I think of all the things we could have talked about, I think it's an interesting one. What I will say is that, like, McAllister's penalty still gives me the heebie-jeebies. When you watch it in slow motion and all, it's at a lovely height for the goalkeeper.
But it's not. It's way above his hand. It's actually way above his hand. It's between that nice level and the bar. It's up over him, and there's too much pace in it.
I looked at going, nah, that's one you can save.
I'd actually sway towards McAllister more if McAllister actually looked up at the goal at any stage. Where, you know, I'm standing up to this and I'm about to put it in, but I've seen him move and I'm just going to slide it down the other side of him. But McAllister seems
to wouldn't have taken a penalty.
Who?
Luis Diaz couldn't kick a grand door from 400 yards out.
If you're giving me a last minute penalty to win the title, I'm definitely biting your hand off because it means you have a chance to win it. Because if you don't have the penalty, you don't have the chance, you know, the sort of way. Yeah. But I'd nearly rather Liverpool had a free kick in a promising position or something than a penalty. It'd be just, I don't know what would happen. It'd be just fucking.
Actually, Anthony Boylan is right. Stick Van Dijk on the penalties. Now, if you want to see someone who's rootless, remember he told the Chelsea keeper where he was putting it?
Kepa just stood over there and he just put it through him anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Hologram goalkeeper.
You know what I mean? Fair play as well. Just talking about McAllister, the 3.5 minutes of keep you up, see, the zone was very entertaining before he took the fucking thing.
Yeah, well, there was the whole injury thing then, and everything. Yeah. So the penalty was awarded on the 47th minute, and he scored in the 50th. In fairness,
at the end of the day, if Mo wants to keep taking the penalties, I can't imagine there'd be anyone in the club. Not even Klopp. You can't take it. You know what I mean?
If Mo's taken on the last day of the season, I don't want to see him side for anything.
Do you know who I love taking a penalty? Do you know who I genuinely love taking a penalty? Trent.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah,
his pens are outrageous.
And actually, Emmett says, don't forget Szoboszlai. Szoboszlai has a serious penalty record as well. You never know. It could be anything. It could be anything. Cantor's has given it to Kelleher on the last day of the season. Like he just says, look, the calmest player I've ever seen. Just give it to him. He'll take it. But
for Allison in the last 89th minute, take the pen.
Yeah, it's just...
Get him up for the corner.
It's, I don't know, like, if it's Salah, I'm praying he just decides, right, I'm rattling this. And I'm actually rattling to me right-hand side. I'm not opening my body out. I'm just lashing it in the bottom, right, kind of coming across it. If it's McAllister, I'm just saying, like, seriously, McAllister's like Johnny Wilkinson. He just puts the ball down and goes, doesn't look up and just goes, it's all about technique and power and precision. And it's just, boom, I'm going in that spot. And there's no way he's getting to it. That's what I think McAllister does, but... Jesus Christ, that last minute penalty at the cup end for a league title will be off the chain. But yeah, I'll take it. If you're offering it.
If you're just walking away going, no.
Well, it won't matter, really. The Wolves game won't matter. Liverpool will have it won in the game before that, anyway. So.
Do you reckon, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. I think they'll win it. I think they'll win it away at Villa.
That's interesting. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Okay, so Gav, as we manufactured a row there around penalty takers for Liverpool in a game, the penalty seems incidental to everything else that went on. I would have loved if somebody had said to me that Luis Diaz is now an amazing footballer, so I could have had that massive row with them saying, Luis Diaz is the most ridiculously talented dribbler of a ball, but is a terrible, terrible finisher. And he just, when you're talking about things that would make you terrified, right? Him on a one-on-one situation in Wolves needing to score, I'm off. Forget about your penalty, I'm off, because that fella could, he'll run to the corner flag or something, or he'll hit two of the stewards.
I know we'll get on to the next topic in a minute, but it's a brilliant bottom Salah yesterday, true to Diaz. His first touch is brilliant because it just takes, I think it's Kyle Walker trying to get back, takes him out of the game. Because instead of a touch to his left hand side where Walker can make up more ground and kind of the angle gets less, he takes a brilliant touch right in front of him, which means Walker, no matter how fast he is, can't get back. He does everything right. You know, he gets a great touch. He opens his body like you would. My only thing would have been, when you opened your body, could you not have went inside the goalkeeper and went around him? Not outside, actually went across Walker and the goalkeeper, because if you watch it slow down, before he even kicks it, the keeper's gone down on his knee with his arms out trying to block it. And if Diaz just takes that extra second, I think he actually looks and goes, oh, fucking great, and go around him. Walker can't touch it because he's coming across you, and he scores. And he tries to put it in the corner and he doesn't. And he misses another one later on when he takes a touch when he shouldn't. He should just shoot. But in fairness, I loved Diaz's performance yesterday. I absolutely loved it. I've never seen a game, it's a long time actually since I've seen a game, where Kyle Walker just didn't want to go over halfway. He does it once in the first half at the very end, where he should actually make a good ball to De Bruyne for possibly 2-0. And he does one in the second half where he actually goes on the run, gets beyond Foden, and then realises where he is and stops and turns around and comes back, because every time Diaz got it, he was at him all the time. And not only was he at Kyle Walker, he was committing other players at the same time. He was committing Rodri to him. He was committing De Bruyne to him. Bernardo Silva was over there trying to help out. And I just thought, listen, we talk about the fans yesterday, and I thought it looked electric, right? We talk about the players that came into the team and stood up. But sometimes you need a player that's just all action. All action. And he's just believes in himself. He could have hit after that miss. He could have hit after that, and he didn't. 80 minutes in, and he's taking on Rodri and Walker the full length of Anfield. He takes them on a walk for the full length of Anfield. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And only because he's absolutely goose to the end of it, where he hits Walker with the cross. I just thought he was absolutely phenomenal yesterday. And he's 12 goals this season. yeah, we might look back at that chance and say he could have won it there for us. But there's so much more positive than a negative on Luis Diaz yesterday. There really is, because not only was he effective in what he was doing, but he was affecting what Man City wanted to do, and that was huge, because when Walker gets up that pitch, he makes that extra man all the time, and then they pull you apart, because De Bruyne just ends up going over there and saying, right, Foden and fucking Walker are occupying these players high at the pitch, now I'm just going to drop in, I'm going to pull a centre-half towards me, or I'm going to pull a midfielder towards me, and then I'm going to start moving it around you. And Liverpool didn't allow that, and neither did Luis Diaz, so I thought he was exceptional yesterday. But not a great finish, but overall, I couldn't fault Luis Diaz.
I told you, my fault with him is that I think he's a phenomenal player to watch, but he's just, production-wise, and I know Kev says he's into double figures for this year, which is great, but he should be like into 20s. Do you know what I mean? Like he should be one of the top scorers in the league. That's where I run into difficulty with him, because he gets so many chances, he makes so many chances, and you just like it's very hard. I suppose that, you know, he came in, he replaces Mane, who you'd argue wasn't as skillful, but it was a better finisher. Do you know what?
Yeah, I think Mane starts from a much more central position as a wide left player. I think Mane's found himself in a much more central position a lot more than Luis Diaz has. And maybe that's because Luis Diaz is probably more of an out-and-out winger than Mane ends up being at Liverpool. Mane, for me, ends up being a forward that just happens to be in that wide left position when they line up on the pitch. but, like, I just think it's harsh on him. I get where you're coming from with the finish. There's no doubt about it. But overall, like, who are you taking out of that team? Who are you taking Luis Diaz out for yesterday? That's my argument. Mm-hmm. And who's going to run Walker like that? Because no one else is doing it. Unless you're willing to put Nunes out there and let him run around. But Nunes, I don't think, is as good defensively as Diaz. I think Diaz is better defensively than people kind of make out.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Anyway, while we manufacture a row here, Gav, you want to talk about people manufacturing rows?
Yeah, like, look, we the lads done the post-match show yesterday. And we done a show last night, and look, there was loads of credit for Liverpool. I want to give an awful lot of credit to Phil Foden. I think he's a joke of a footballer. I think he's incredible. And I did give City credit last night, because look, just it takes two to tango in games like that. And no matter if you don't like them, and I despise them, for obvious reasons, but you have to give credit to those players on the pitch. They're a phenomenal football team, regardless of how they got there. The decision at the end of the game yesterday annoyed me at the time, all right? And as the more the night went on, I was kind of like, yeah, but I'm very positive over the performance, and you get a point, and we know they have to play each other next in the league and stuff like that. But the actual thing that's bugging me is, why are we making these football decisions so complicated? Like, why is there so many narratives and so many angles around a situation where you just go, that's black and white as to what that is? Why have we got, like, everyone, now, don't get me wrong, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But what I'm saying is, opinions being thrown out there that are absolute and utter fucking garbage. And they're being thrown out there as to make narratives, to make arguments, to make clicks, whatever it might be. But yesterday in that game, right, like, I seen Dermot Gallagher today trying to do mental gymnastics for fucking 6 minutes on Sky, and it was horrendous for him. Like, to the point where I think it might have been Jay Botroyd was on him, right? Former Cardiff striker, right? And he's going, that's a penalty. Like, it's a penalty. And then Dermot Gallagher's saying, like, well, you know, the referee thinks he plays the ball and he's correct. And I'm like, no, he's not, right? And then he's like, he relays the information to VAR who tell him correctly that he's played the ball. I'm like, Dermot, he doesn't play the ball. They're literally showing it on a big screen behind you. McAllister plays the ball and this guy's foot is up and hits him in the chest, simultaneously connecting with the ball, right? Sue Smith, I think is the girl's name, was there, was going, no, he plays the ball for us. It's a free anywhere else on the pitch. Yeah, but it's not being judged anywhere else on the pitch. And he's trying to make sense of this as if, like, yeah, kick a fella in the chest in midfield and we'll book you. Kick a fella in the chest in the penalty area. Yeah, it's a higher bar, does it? And I'm kind of going, is this actually fucking for real? Like, can we not just look at decisions and go, listen, he's kicked him in the fucking chest. I don't care where he's done it, right? It'd be like saying, do you remember the time Cantona ninja kicked your man over the thing? Well, look, it wasn't on the pitch, so, like, you know, what goes on off the pitch stays off the pitch. You know, the sort of way, like, you shouldn't be banning him. Like, he wasn't even on the pitch when it happened. Like, this sort of fucking nonsense that's going on. And honestly, I know there's tribalism, and like, I genuinely believe, I think if you've done a study on the contentious decisions this season and you looked at the two people that were on Sky at the time, I think you'll find, and I reckon you might find that one of them will say one thing and one will say the other, because it immediately creates a grey area and a platform to argue a point, and that's all they want all the time. But Phil, what happens there yesterday, right? And again, I caveat it all, well, I'm absolutely fine with Liverpool drawing that game yesterday. But what happens there yesterday is a guy tries to chest the ball in the box. And I don't give a fuck what Docky was trying to do. His foot is and hits him basically in the armpit, which is level with your shoulder, right? In the box. And they basically go, the ref goes no, because he thinks he's played the ball. And VAR decide, very quickly, by the way, he has played the ball. When he clearly hasn't played the ball. He's played the player, right? Mm. That ball just happens to be there at the time. So now we're down to the point where every single time a player raises his foot, we're going to have to go middle of the pitch, yellow card, in the box, do what you fucking like. And we keep complicating this every single fucking week off the back of, I starting to think it's negligence by the PGMOL and the mainstream and other media turning around and going, let's just put this opinion in there and let's complicate it with fucking ex-referees and everything else trying to mentally gymnastic their way out of this. It's fucking appalling. It's absolutely appalling. And like someone's, I seen somebody in an interview today and they said, what happens if it happens at the Liverpool end? If that happens at the Liverpool end, I'm going, you are a fucking idiot trying to kick that ball like that. You either get to it quicker and get a touch, or you wait for him to take your touch and then you try to do something to defend it. You don't turn blind with your foot up that high and try to kick a ball in the box. You simply don't. But that's where we are. We just keep complicating decisions, and it seems to be the way out and the way home for them making excuses around them.
You also got this yesterday of, you know, you're not going to give a penalty for that in the 98th minute. Of a big match like that. Why not? Why don't you? You can't have context. You can't, you know, just because it's at the 98 minute in a huge, huge, maybe not a title side at this stage, but why can't you? The rules are the rules. Do you know? That's what took my head in. You know? You can't do that. Of course you can. It's like someone cleans someone out in the first minute. You can't send them off. Of course you can. Do you know? It's the rules. It doesn't matter when it is. It doesn't matter where it is.
But what happens is you start picking apart arguments that you see come forward, like, you know, there's a higher bar. That's just made up language. That's made up fucking language, right? Just say it's a high bar and everyone will go away. That's made up, right? Because let me put it this way. How many penalties have we seen this season? Let me start with. How many free kicks have you seen given this season where a fella gets a touch in midfield, a lad clips him on the ankle, and there's not much contact, but a free is given, right? Loads of times you see it, right? How many times have you seen a player go in the box and gets touched, goes down, and a penalty's given? Yeah. Right? Loads of times. It happens loads of times. So why aren't we turning around and going, listen, he would have had to really actually give you a good fucking kick there in the box for us to get that penalty, because it's a higher bar. That clip doesn't happen. And the argument is, like, when that happens in the box, is it enough for him to go down? We're not saying that in midfield. So why are we differentiating between an offence somewhere on different parts of the pitch and a level as to what way you have to do it? It's complicating everything. The rules are, if you impede somebody, no matter where it is on the pitch, it's an offence. The only difference is the severity of the punishment. Is it a free kick where everyone can be behind the ball and, you know, whatever, and you need to be 10 yards away from you? Or is it a penalty where it's you and the opposition goalkeeper? That's the only thing it should be. All this high bar, it's in the box, it's the last minute, it's a big game. Like, Jamie Carragher came out yesterday and said, I don't see the big deal in this. You know, people do that. People could do that in the middle of the pitch and it'd be blown up and no one really cares. But in the box, you know, I'm not too sure. And then tonight, after Kyle Walker does an interview with Sky saying, you know, the referee showed his experience there and his character by not, you know, Jamie Carragher's coming out and going, Jesus, like, there's Man City trying to change the narrative, like, as if they weren't lucky yesterday. How are you saying they were lucky yesterday when yesterday you were saying it wasn't a penalty? It doesn't match up. It's just completely complicating everything that's going on. It's like just throwing it all in the mix and hope everyone just fucking gets that confused that we just go, I'll listen on to next week. And it just does me fucking head in.
I don't care, says Phil.
Yeah, couldn't give a bollocks.
On this one...
I just have to check something. Go on.
Yeah, on this one, I'm sort of so far past the point of the officials and VAR and the refereeing and the levels of refereeing in the Premier League that it's exactly what you expect. And this sounds like it's exactly what you expect. It's just the whole P. I've said multiple times on this, right? The PGMOL is an absolutely debased and incompetent group of officials, right? They aren't fit to be reffing at the top end of any sport, don't mind football, which they're employed to do. And I think the hardest bit for me is that it's the same problem over and over again. And for whatever reason, nobody wants to really call it out. This comes back to protecting the institution as opposed to it's back to protecting an institution as opposed to just calling out for what it is. Massive incompetence at a complete scale. Like it annoys us because it happened to us yesterday, but it's happening every week. If you watch football every week, half the time is taken up with the wrong decision, the bad decision. VAR was in, VAR was out. He should have been booked. He should have been sent off. Should have been a penalty. It was a goal. It wasn't a goal. Like a goal, the force goal. Like lads, the force goal is a classic example of these fellas being completely incompetent. Because it's Endo or McAllister gets blocked off that allows Stones to get the run to get for the opening goal. Right? Yeah. It's the same thing that happens in the League Cup final. But in that instance, they use VAR and it's
no,
free.
No, you see, it's not really because Endo comes from an offside position to block somebody. So because he comes from an offside position to block somebody, that's Gav. The rule. Yesterday, you see, I actually think Gav. City are really clever yesterday. Because what he does is he doesn't just block him. He doesn't look away from the ball and block McAllister. He engages with McAllister, who engages back by hanging out of him. They're both hanging out of each other. He's just stronger.
Can I just stop you there? Right? See what you're talking about. It's fucking rubbish. And I'll tell you why it's rubbish, right? Blocking and holding and all that type of stuff has been going on. And if it was done consistently in every game and the rules are applied in every game, I'd agree with you, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that they make it up as they go. Look, this isn't about manufacturing. It's great for Sky. I'm completely convinced, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, right? But I'm completely bought in on the fact that because this thing is so corrupt, and the Premier League is so corrupt, right? That the allegedly is so corrupt, allegedly, right? It's like it wouldn't surprise me if there's as much now influence going on behind the scenes, saying we need to be able to dedicate 24-hour talk to sports and stuff like this. So VAR should really be taking on so much of this controversy over, but they can't afford it. And from the start, the referees have been against video assisted referees in specifically in England. And what's the best way to get rid of it? By making it completely unworkable and looking like it's incompetent. And I believe that at that level, they've decided that this is what they were going to do. When they're making decisions off the back of, well, I didn't want to get my mate into trouble or get him in the spotlight because he, even though he was right to say it, I didn't use it. And this is Mike Dean. If it was outside the box, yeah, but because it's in there, we have to add context. There's nowhere in the rule book that says context, right? So, as I said, we can have these conversations. Unfortunately, as fans, it's going to annoy us and it's going to decide where titles go and who wins what and when they win it and what it looks like. But the problem is that it's not going to change until they remove or create a competition to the PGMOL. And this is where I remain, and I have been for weeks, for months now at this point in time. Unless there's an alternative association of referees that can be used to referee games and the clubs can say, I don't want to use the PGMOL until they bring their standards up. We're going to use the MGPOL, whatever you want to call it, right? I want we're going to use them for our games.
And no, I think the Premier League should take more responsibility and directly employ them. So instead of the PGMOL being a separate body that is contracted to the Premier League need to turn around and go, even if it's the same people, to turn around and go, we are no longer dealing with the PGMOL. If you want a referee in the Premier League, you will become a employee of the Premier League, which makes the Premier League take way more responsibility over the decisions that's being made within their product. It's as simple as that, because every week, and this is what I go back to, complicating things every week. And what does it do? If you complicate it and you can get big media outlets or TV companies to get two people on screen to disagree with each other, you create a grey area, okay, for which the PGMOL will slide straight into and disappear into the night and back on to next week. That's what's happening. And the Premier League and the PGMOL, because they're two separate things, can just kind of bounce it around until people get bored. If they are directly employed by the Premier League will be asked these questions every week and will be forced. They will feel, because what's happened, they'll just get buried in another institution. Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. It's like a cartel. We can only use the PGMOL. They're the only referees available on this planet. I've said it so many times. If you go out tomorrow as the Premier League and say, we need 40 officials with this qualification and we're offering you £100,000 a year to referee, they'll be queuing around the fucking corner for the job. But the problem here is that you have a group of 20, 30 people, whatever it is, and they feel like they're bulletproof. And not only that, they know that now they have the media companies where they want them, where the media companies will make an argument, but they'll actually make up an argument that benefits them. Because if they say, I don't think so, well, I do, then by complicating it, they have a way out. And this is what I keep going back to. Why can't we just look at that and say, Dermot Gallagher shouldn't be there doing that, and Mike Dean shouldn't be doing it? Because what's happening is they're literally just going along with whatever narrative's being built up and trying to fit words into that narrative. Instead of just turning around going, he kicks him in the fucking chest, it's a penalty, Michael Oliver, I don't think Michael Oliver sees it, by the way. I think he thinks he plays the ball. VAR need to stand in and go, Michael, he does play the ball, but only after he's kicked this fella in the fucking chest. So you need to come to the screen. So again, not fit for purpose. They're not carrying out the duties they're meant to carry out. You see it all the time. A fella gets tapped in the box. A small tap. And it's like, call back, go over and look at the screen, go over and look at the screen. He might have touched the ball, but he's actually taking his ankle at the same time. This fella is ninja kicked in the fucking chest. Do you know what I mean? And they're all going, yeah. Like, Emmett says it there. Mike Dean was all in on thing yesterday. On Oliver being sent to the screen and Doku being in trouble. VAR go check complete very quickly again, I want to say. Dean does a full 180 and says, I agree. Good decision. That's what happened yesterday.
It's crazy.
But they've forgot. Remember, it used to be reckless. I'm not getting into the decisions. I'm actually tired of it, Gav. And I don't mean to.
No, I know. I'm tired of it. But what happens is we keep adding layers to it. First of all, it was do they know the rules? Second thing was who's making the decisions. Now it's a case of basically look, make whatever decision you want, and media companies will just come in and complicate everything, make an argument over, and everything will just go away. And the tribalism on top is just, you know, that's what just seals it all the time. Like, in fairness, I know a couple of Arsenal fans, a couple of United fans said to me yesterday, that's a penalty. Like, any sane person knows that that's a penalty. They just do.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all you want. Honestly, right, this shouldn't be even something you have to say. All you want is consistency in the applications of the rules of the game, right? And where a mistake or something's being missed, you utilise the technology to correct that. And you take away every single bloody piece of context and all that type of stuff. And I've long said it, I would rather a robot ref a match because it has no emotions and it's completely, there's no context. It refs by the rules. It just sees the game, sees the rules. Down to offsides, I'll even go as far as offsides. There is not a single reason on earth why at this point in time offsides aren't automated. And nobody can give me a reason, right? Because that you've got enough AI out there to be able to recognize the moment the ball is struck and have a invisible laser going across the last line of defense, right? So it just takes away whether it should put a flag up, and basically it beeps. And once it beeps, the flag goes up. Do you know what I mean? Or a red light goes on in the ground to say this is what it is.
But, sorry, Antoine Antoine says, but you guys still won't use the word corrupt. Antoine go, listen, I don't think they're that intelligent to be corrupt, right? And this isn't about, if they were corrupt, they would be doing it to one team, and that would, corruption would be, it's everybody it's happening to. You can't be corrupt against everybody, and everybody has suffered, right? And it's just incompetence. It's not corruption. Mm-hmm. It's incompetence is what it is, right? Because I believe they don't like the system. I never have. I think they've dragged their heels on every kind of next kind of upgrade to the system there's been. And they just think they're untouchable. And because they think they're untouchable, standards drop and they become not fit for purpose. It's not about corruption. That's just the easy way out of it. You know, that's Everton fans standing in the Gladys Street with like posters they made in their bedroom the night before, right? It's not corruption. It's fucking incompetence. It's happening to everybody. Absolutely everybody. Every week. And you will say, like, oh, well, it doesn't happen to City. I'm sure it has. I'm seeing that. You know, we talked about the Rodri handball a couple of years ago. It happened. Every team has a gripe with how this system is. Every single one of them. It's incompetence.
Go on, Robbie.
I was just going to say, I've heard this raised before. What do you think of the argument about making the officials on VAR independent? So get a new set of lads who work on VAR. You wouldn't know fucking Michael Oliver if you walked down the street.
I've said this all along. Do you know the problem you have there is you already have a group of individuals that don't respect the players, don't respect anything bar themselves, right? Even that's what the PGMOL institution is. It's run by Howard Webb, who has literally no respect for anything outside of Howard Webb. And from my point of view, I said it from the very outset. The VAR should have nothing to do with the PGMOL. There should be a set of officials that are just set up for the video assistant refereeing, and if a decision has gone to the VAR, the referee shouldn't have the right to overrule it. Do you know what I mean? It should be like if they spot something that's being missed, then that's it. The decision is overturned, and that's what happens.
That's what will happen. Would be if they said, "I'll go to the screen." He's going to be like, "I'm not going to let these Shara Bassett show me up. I'm going to stay with my decision." You know.
Yeah.
But
again, do you know the worst part about it is, like, most of the day people have been talking about the foot up and the studs as opposed to the spectacle that was the match, right? And the amount of chances Liverpool had to win the game. And I know it was end to end. We aren't talking about, again, an example of arguably the best defender we've seen since probably Franco Baresi played football in the world, right? Yeah. And his ability to be able to manage 2-on-1 situations. I've never seen a defender been able to do this on a regular basis where Haaland is attacking him, who's seen as the best centre forward in the world, right? And he's able to control it. Like it's ridiculous. We touched on it. The footwork of Diaz a full throttle is outrageous. That pull, the one that Gav mentioned,
looks like a glitch.
Yeah. How are you doing that? Because he never breaks stride. The whole thing just happens.
No, there's definitely, it looks like, do you ever get like a scratch on your FIFA disc when you had the PlayStation 2? That's what it was like. Every time you go down the wing, this is going to glitch like fuck, and then you're at the edge of the box. Like it's a cheat.
Yeah.
It was a joke. Yeah. But I think if you make the right decision there yesterday, it adds to the spectacle.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't, but I'm saying to you is, in terms of what we should be discussing, it shouldn't be about this whole thing that's been driven out of, again, just incompetence. And it's so torn. It's like, it's to the point that it's one of now the key talking features of games that people want to talk about all the time. When you saw the who had it was made over the drop ball thing at the Nottingham Forest game, for example.
Monumental, right? What that was described as by Mike Dean, by the way. Yeah, but Mike Dean seems okay today.
Yeah, he's great because whatever. Right, so like I come back to it. It's, listen, you know what I mean. These things, I will say one thing: bad decisions do even themselves out over the course of a season, and we'll get some, we won't get some, and that's where it goes. And on that, given that we're all annoyed about what happened, my topic is, how honest is Klopp going to go? Because that interview was phenomenal. To call out everyone who's a football person realising it should have been a penalty. And if you don't, well then, when you talk about Mike Dean and his reaction to Mike Dean, all I was sure to say is, your man is a clown, doesn't know what he's talking about. Why would you even bring this name to me? This fella is a malodian head. I'm not having it. So, look, I want to know how close are we going to get to an unfiltered version of press conferences as we get to the last couple of games of the season, because clearly he's going to want to do a bit of television after it. What do you reckon, Gav? Because the more he becomes unfiltered, the more he's going to be in absolute demand as a pundit after the season's ended. And he has to have one eye on like picking up a bit of pocket money at the end of the week.
The Euros.
Like
he's definitely eyeing up RTE going, can I get in there with Dunphy and the boys?
Bring him back.
Yeah. At least, like, listen, I'll show you how it's done. You know what I mean? Absolute punch ups in the RTE studio because fucking Latvia beat Estonia in the first group game. Do you know what? I think, look, the biggest thing about him leaving Liverpool is that he wants to live some sort of life. That's the biggest thing coming over for me. He's dedicated, you know, how many years now? He must be 50, is he 56, 57 years of age now? And he's literally dedicated his life since he was whatever age. And he's, the only break I think I remember him having was when he left Dortmund. But fucking 5 months later, he was at Liverpool. And look, that is the biggest thing in it, right? But just like, you know, in a side folder is the freedom he's getting from these wankers in the British media. It's definitely like, listen, life, family, I'm a grandfather, but I can't wait to get the fuck away from them little idiots, right? So I think he's going to get more and more honest as it goes on. What are they going to do to him? And he's very clever in what he done yesterday. He turned around and he goes, you employ Mike Dean, don't you? And he went, yeah. And he goes, great appointment, fantastic appointment. But he says it where people know he's absolutely taking the mick, but you can't say anything about it. My words were, that was a great appointment, right? And he's not doing anything. He's literally having a go at Sky and Mike Dean. Hasn't said anything about the Premier League. What are Sky going to do? Ring up and go, you're banned for 2 games. Who the fuck are you? Right? So that's what he's doing. I think it's amazing. I think if TNT Sports bring back the fella that tried to pick on him at Brighton, the same little wanker that was on the pitch when we beat Barcelona, you know, Lord and Liverpool and the whole lot, and then he tried to have a go off Klopp after an early kick off at Brighton, and Klopp went through him, and people were like, oh, is your man great for asking the question? You could see Klopp going, I'm going to strangle you, you little fuck. So maybe, I don't know, if he's brought into the middle of the pitch for TNT, Klopp will use him as a human pinata. He'll just batter him. You know what I mean? He just batter him with the nearest stick he can find. But I'm liking the honesty. And you know what? Do you know what I'm liking most about it? Fans of other teams are still trying to twist this by saying, oh, he's losing the head. Des Kelly is your man's name. Yeah. He's losing the head. Oh, look, his head's gone. The head gasket's gone. And it's not. What's happening is he's having the fucking time of his life. He thinks his team are amazing. He thinks the club is amazing. He thinks the fans are amazing. He's enjoying every minute of it because I think he thought, I'll get them back in top four and on the up when I leave. And now he's looking going, I can win the whole fucking lot with these lads. And no matter what happens, Marion, I've won a trophy. I'm going to make top four. Brilliant. Now I'm just going to have a good time. And I think, listen, he's no fucking idiot. So what he'll do is he's probably planning, who the fuck am I talking to after this game today? Who am I talking to after this game today? And I have my little sound bites ready for them and nice little digs all the time, because the funny thing is, no matter how much you have a go at Jurgen Klopp, when you actually go back and listen to what he talks about, he makes so much fucking sense. 5 subs, early kickoffs after you're in Europe. He's talked about all these things and he was ridiculed for them all. And now what happens? They all want 5 subs. They all love the 5 subs. They all, like, what, half 12? Everyone kicks off if they were half 12 now. After Europe, we don't have to play half 12 because that's the new rule, isn't it? Great. Yeah, but you were ridiculing Jurgen Klopp 2 years about it. So I just think it's like, Emmett says there, Klopp walking on Anfield taking heads clean off with the Premier League trophy. Like, I could just, do you know what I mean? Just, it's, I think he is going to get more and more honest as these last, what is it, 12 weeks or so, was it? Probably not even that. Probably 10 weeks of his Liverpool career comes to an end, and I'm all for it. And I don't give a fuck what he says. I don't care who he says it to. The club should just say to him, you do what you want. And if a fucking 10 million fine lands on the door, we'll cover it. You go out in a blaze of glory. And if he can go out and upset as many people as he can while picking up trophies. It's fucking, it's the best ending you've ever seen. It's better than Escape the Victory.
I think we should all be on Duolingo now, lads, learning German, because I think when he goes back, what have we got? We got the Euros this year, right? He's going to go back to German TV. He's left England. He's left Liverpool. He's going to, and he'd be speaking in his native tongue. He'd be able to express himself even fucking more than he can in English. He's going to go over to these German.
Oh, Robbie froze at the wrong time. But Robbie's frozen. If you can hear us, Robbie, just drop out and come back in. We'll all be just hanging out Rosetta Stone now, isn't it? Rosetta Father Stone. Ted,
with the Golden Cleric Award, you know. And yeah. Now the lawyers, and now the pricks, and just fucking call them all out on the top of the Rival building after the parade, like, well, if he gets it, you know. Fucking let them all have it.
I think you will
book, let them I'm really it. Looking forward to the book as well. Obviously, there will inevitably there will be a book.
Yeah.
Well, it's the television series. It's been recorded at the moment.
They are recording the thing for Netflix, aren't they? The end of the
I don't know if it's Netflix or Amazon. It's one of them.
One of them is, yeah.
Because this is it. Like this is the moment that he's getting they're covering off his last 5 months or whatever it is, his Liverpool manager. So yeah, like if it was a warts and all, like proper warts, it won't be, right? But if it was warts and all, it would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
To get I'm
going to be honest. I haven't watched a single episode of Sunderland till I die. I don't give a fuck about Sunderland, right? I haven't watched a single one of the sports because I don't care about sports. I haven't watched a single thing of the Arsenal one. I think Arsenal done one as well. Don't care about them. But I would watch if you showed me the last 5 months of Klopp's reign, where he's just going around going,
I hate everybody. Tom Bowler makes a point. I want the same. I want to see Klopp, right, rolling off like Ian Eyre did at the end of being Liverpool. Remember he jumped on his Harley at the end of the series?
Yeah.
And they went out with the song "I'm a Man on Fire." That's what I want. But yeah. I want flames shooting out of Klopp as he's leaving.
I think Klopp should go off in an Opel Corsa. Right, because he's mad into Opel, right? An Opel Corsa down the Breck Road, right, with all the trophies hanging off the back of it. You know, like you would when you see this Just Married thing, right, with all the cans off the back of the car, all the trophies tied to the back of it, right, in an Opel Corsa, and just a big fucking Erdinger in his hand, not giving a fuck, straight down the Breck Road, and then cut the end scene.
Oh, do you know, it'd be a great one if it was just him going to the airport, but then skipping all the queue because he's using the EU lane. I'm off. Good luck. Stick that, lads. Enjoy your cues. We're off. Boom. Out the door. Out the gap. Back to Europe.
But do you not think, like we've seen Klopp in title run-ins and, you know, stressful times, injuries and wherever it might be, right? COVID, you know, was very stressful for him because I think his mother might have died during that and stuff. And you've seen him kind of, not tighten up, but really focused, you know, a little bit short with people because you could kind of go, Jesus, he's really in here, like he's all in. But you look at him now, right? And he's like still in all these competitions, right? Massive fucking stress levels, clearly. Half his fucking team out injured. And he's literally strolling in the interviews, like breaking his bollocks, laughing at people. Like it's just like a weight has been lifted off him. And instead of this boarding on him and the media doing his face in and all the things he has to do in the football club. He's literally went, it's like when you're going on holiday, right? Remember when you used to go on holiday and your ma used to clean the gaff from top to bottom before she left, right? Because she always wanted to come back to clean beds and the whole lot, right? It's literally like he set this up and went, right, everything's in place. All the beds are spotless. I've dusted the whole fucking place. I've cleaned all the windows. We can go away for 5 months now and everything's going to be brand new, right? That's what he's done. So now all he has to do is turn up, tell the team to do deadly, have a laugh after, slag a load of people up, fuck off home. And that's exactly what he's doing. And it's like he's just put everything in place and went, boom. That's what he told him in November. He said, by January, I want everything in fucking place. I'm going to tell everyone, and I don't have to do all this shit for 5 months. It's me and the team, and we're going for it. And I just think it's brilliant. And you said earlier, I think he's at a 6 for honesty. He'll hit 11.
That's what I was waiting. I said, is it 6 out of 10 at the moment, right? Because he's still being not coy, but he's still being intelligent about the type of advances he's given. I think by the end of the season, there'll be no gloves. It'll be bare knuckle. be straight in, right?
If he's standing at Anfield with the Premier League title in his hand at the end of this season, he's letting everyone have it. Because the only two games he has left is an FA Cup, right? Is an FA Cup and possibly a Europa League final. They're both on after the last day of the season.
Could I just make a plea if anyone in the club is listening, please don't do a bus tour, right? Just do something different. Put up a massive stage in Stanley Park or something like that, right? Just something different, right? Let them all go.
There's no way in Liverpool you could host that sort of thing.
But you have to come up with something, right? Listen to me. There's a massive stadium there in just built in the dock with nothing going on in it that they could just let everyone into, right? Just have a
yeah.
It's lots of energy. But Gav, every city in the world has their teams in to do stuff, and they have it in the town square or they have it in a big area. You can do it. You can do it. Anyone can do it.
I'm with you, but when I think around Liverpool, you know, where in the city centre are you finding an area big enough? Because this isn't 100,000 people turned up.
No.
Like, I promise you, a million people will show up to this fucker. I'm telling you that now. If he has a League Cup only, and they say Jurgen Klopp wants to meet everybody before he leaves, I promise you, a million people will be here. Like, there's the amount of people. Like, I'm convinced on the last day of the season, the Liverpool are champions, or can be, or have it in their hands to be champions, or even just have a chance of being champions on the last day. There'd be 60,000 people in Anfield. I guarantee there'd be another 60,000 around the ground. I fucking guarantee that.
I'm telling you now. I want something different.
Doing the Phoenix Park. It's doing the Phoenix Park.
I was going to say, do it in the Phoenix Park. It's grand, yeah. Right?
You can stay with you can stay with your man in the big house over there. He's allowed to spare
the
rooms.
Pope.
The Pope?
Stay with the Pope.
No, we won't stay with the Pope.
Didn't they build a secret hotel underneath the Pope's cross when he came?
It's not that fucking secret. You know about it.
Shit, I'm not meant to tell you, but it's still there.
A secret hotel under the what?
You know the cross and the Phoenix Park.
Paper cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a hotel underneath that.
Yeah.
For what?
For when the Pope was here.
Who was staying there?
The Pope.
The Pope wasn't staying in the fucking thing underneath there.
He did.
You just stop.
All his entourage.
But the paper cross wasn't there when the Pope came.
He was up doing the ceremony.
No, was that,
was
only
that,
put up, that was only put up after.
No, it was part of the altar. It was part of the backdrop of the altar.
Was it?
Yeah.
And what did he do? When he finished, he went, I'm just going to go to my room now and just lower down into the ground. Like some off grand designs. You know your man with the mad eyes, your man McLeod, standing there going, what a design this is. And the Pope just
it's now one of our nuclear bunkers.
Yeah. Our only nuclear bunker, I would say.
No, there's a few. I can tell you the location of
we'll
a few
just
around
stop.
Town.
Ireland have about 25 black cats in a box.
Okay, I'll give you one now. And the next time you're in town, check it out. Next time you're in Merrion Square, right? If you go into Merrion Square and you go down to the corner that's not at the Leinster House and the far corner, you'll see a mound of grass that comes up, right? That's a bomb shelter. That's the entrance to a bomb shelter. They don't need to peel away three layers of grass to get in there. I'm not even messing with you. I'm serious. And the whole bomb shelter goes underneath Merrion Square.
So
itself.
This is the corner of Merrion Square and Fitzwilliam Street.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go in. I'm in town next week.
Go in and check it out. Go in.
Go
you can. Right. So if you want to know
shovel,
where all the secret bomb shelters
I'm
are.
Just gonna go. I'm just checking the shelters. All right, lads.
I've always been a fan of bomb shelters, and I was in checking them out, the secret ones.
And hotels in the Phoenix Park.
Hotels in the Phoenix Park. Yeah. The Pope still has all the
Phil drives through. Phil drives down fucking whatever avenue that is in what's the name of the avenue in fucking in the Phoenix Park? The main street too, I can't remember the name of it. And he just drives through there with the kids and goes, oh, I'd love to stay in that hotel. And they're all just looking around the fields and deer. He's like, I'd love to stay in that hotel. What?
There's a swimming pool in it.
Hold on, Robbie has the name. What is it, Robbie?
Chesterfield Avenue.
Yep, that's right. There's a swimming pool and everything in that. There's a hotel. It's not being used anymore.
Swimming pool, hotel, no. Hotel, not being used anymore, though.
Nothing is close up. They should use it. This could house a lot of people who are needy at the moment. So that's what I'd say. Anyway, I think that's going to be a wrap for tonight. Bomb shelters.
So. Bomb shelters in the Phoenix Park at Mounds of Grass and Merrion Square.
Gav, give us the old the lighthouse. Just before we go, Antoine wants to know, Edgem, I am 46 and I'm 47 in 6.5 weeks time. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. My name is Gav. I'm 42 in a week's time. What am I talking about? Oh, yeah. Link is in the description for our fundraiser for the Fans Support and Field Banks and the Lighthouse. Fans Support and Field Banks in Liverpool, as you know what they are. And the Lighthouse is a cafe in Dublin that looks after people less fortunate than ourselves, struggling to make ends meet. And as I said, when the snow arrived for one day in Dublin there a couple of weeks ago, there was 400 people queuing outside that cafe for help. So that's the sort of work they are up against. The link is in the description. If you can't donate, please do. I always say it, whoever's watching and whoever's downloading this show on its own, if we all gave a euro, we'd literally just like go over the 10 grand. Like, that's how easy it is.
Easy.
So if you can't donate, please take the link. Tell people about it. Send the link and tell people what the link is about. Just don't send it and go, there's a link. Send it and tell people what it's about. We're trying to get over the 10 grand. We're closing in. We're just over 2, I think. We have got our golf day coming up and I'll start hammering people for that at the start of April. But that is that. Phil's link is in the description as well. Quest, what's it? You've made this very...
Quest
545. Quest 545. It's literally like, you know, Nigerian fella send you an email going, you've won 20 million, send us your details. It is Quest 545 is dodgy as
Johnny fuck. Quest. Johnny Quest. I was thinking Johnny Quest.
Anyway, it's real. We promise we won't put a link up there if it's not real. It's not for Phil's only fans. It's genuinely a link to donate to the Laurel Inn Hospice. The Laurel Inn Hospital is the only hospice in Dublin for children. It's one service you don't ever want to have to use, but loads of people do have to use it. So it's a brilliant, brilliant pick by Phil to raise money for. He's trying to raise 5 grand, which is basically a grand per event. So
like grand per event, and it's the target's 500 quid a month. We've done the first 500, so we're on the way, right?
But if you have a fiver, give 250 to Phil and 250 to us. You know, so we're trying to tie this together and we'll go 15 there. Grand's the target. And as I always said, we won't stop. We will not stop until we get that 15 grand raised. So if that's done in June, great. If it takes to the following June, we'll still keep talking about it. And if we lose viewers and subscribers and members, so be it. We like talking football, but we like helping people more. So that's where we are with that. Next week, when young Matthew comes on, he's going to tell you to donate. He's much more forceful than either me or his father. And we might put something in place that, I don't know, for every tenor that gets donated, Matthew gets an extra question or something along them lines. And God knows what he's going to fucking ask me. We'll be here all night. But that's where we are with them, Phil.
Well, that's just so he's all now when he comes on, right?
Oh, I'd really like to hear it.
There's the little fella there.
Look at him.
Yeah, there he is with me. There at the oak. So that's him coming on. He's a messer. He's there. He is with his dad. So just to prove that he is mine. So
well, that doesn't prove he's yours. It just proves he's in a picture with you.
But yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. So please, he's a good laugh and he's mad in the head.
Do I get a preview to these questions or?
I don't know, Gav. I think I might just let him go free style.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ! This could be anything. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to put
genuinely, he's so excited about it. Like,
will you just tell him? Like, I don't really want football questions. I'd rather what is your favorite bleeding fruit? I'd rather that than a football question.
Do me a favor, right? Yeah. Just when you're starting off, I told him that he's going to have to brush up on his football knowledge and he needs to know all the Liverpool songs, right? So I told him he wasn't allowed on unless he sang a song. So
this has got to be bullying. Like, genuinely, we're going to get closed down by bullying. Yeah.
Antoine Go just asked a question. What's wrong with shoulders? There's nothing wrong with shoulders. He was basically wearing two hoodies underneath the t-shirt, right? And he forgot to pull the hoods out. That's all it was.
I was going to ask the same, but then I thought you had some sort of problem, and
massive shoulders. He's working his way up to be a defensive lineman in the NFL.
I was going to say he must have had trials. What did he have for his breakfast?
That's why your man said you can have him for free.
He just stand there, big massive shoulders, not messing with him. That's his breakfast in there. He fucking took half the breakfast and put it in his top on the way out. Anyway, can we go now?
We can. Anyway, fantastic show. Great chat, lads. Robbie, cheers for coming on tonight. I'm glad you got to witness that absolute genius of a match yesterday in the person. Gav, as ever, it's been a pleasure. Gav, are we doing the greatest this week?
Wednesday night.
Are we definitely doing it this week?
Yeah.
Or is that not a better one for the international week?
No. We're doing it Wednesday night.
Are we? And then we're doing the final during the international week, are we?
Yeah. Wednesday night, 10 PM, member show. And Matt, you might be a member show next week, actually. I'd say it'd have to be. But anyway, you never know. We could end up fucking just running this podcast and we just all piss off somewhere. Could you be that good? So you never know.
We'll be raising money for his shoulders next. It's not his shoulders.
Save Matthew's shoulders. tomorrow, I'm on at 10 a.m. tomorrow. There's no show tomorrow night. Wednesday, 10 a.m. Wednesday, 10 p.m. for members. With the greatest Thursday should be on at 10 a.m. 10 p.m. reaction to Liverpool against Sparta Prague. We're off on Friday and we'll be back Sunday with two shows. That's at the moment what the schedule is.
Most excellent. That's been the show. I've been your host, Phil. Good night. God bless. See you during the week. Hit that button.
Podcast Network.